Our God is a generous God, but in order to enjoy His generosity, we have to accept His gifts. Here's Skip Heitzig.
You know, it is one thing to be given a gift. It's another thing to actually receive it and open it. It's kind of lame if somebody gives you a gift and you thank them and you never open it. God gave them a gift, but they never really opened it. They never took all the land that God promised them. Again, because of unbelief.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
If you really want to memorize something, you have to repeat it. I'll leave all the scientific and medical explanations for the experts to go over. But whatever the reasons may be, I do know that the constant repetition of information helps it become ingrained in your mind. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig shows us that God, not surprisingly, understands this concept as well. You probably noticed that the Bible often repeats important information, and we take a closer look at why that's the case in today's study. But before we get started, another great way to retain information from the Bible is to study the Bible closely. And if you aren't sure how to do that, here's something that might help.
It's an ancient text full of power and mysteries, and its words have helped shape the course of history and change the lives of millions of people all over the world. It grants the power to peer through the fog of time into the future and lends perspective to how history has been shaped to influence the lives of each and every one of us.
It's the Bible, the best-selling book that many people have never read, let alone studied. At The Connection, we want to help change that. This month, as we begin the journey of the Bible from 30,000 feet, we want you to have some excellent and helpful study tools. We have the Connection Study Kit that includes Skip's book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, and the compact versions of the Nelson Bible Dictionary and the New Strong's Concordance. These helpful tools will help you get the most out of your time of Bible study. Get all three books for yourself or a friend for just $30 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The Bible has the most powerful words ever put to paper, and getting the most of studying them takes time, tools, and instruction. Order the Connection Study Kit and get Skip's book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, along with the compact versions, Nelson's Bible Dictionary, and the New Strong's Concordance for just $30 when you call The Connection at 1-800-922-1888.
And don't forget, we have many more resources to help you get the most out of our current series when you visit BibleFrom30K.org. That's BibleFrom30K.org. You know, when God says something, you should listen. When He sees fit to repeat Himself, well, that's when you really need to start paying attention. I know that might seem like common sense, but then common sense isn't always that common.
And make the connection.
You'll open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to cover that entire book in just a couple of days. So open it up, get ready, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he shares a very important warning.
History proves that truth and principle can be easily forgotten. If you look at the decay of some of the great institutions, even in our own country, you can see that. Take Harvard University, for instance. A school that began with a promise, a goal, a vision, and that is to train up young men for the ministry, to preach the gospel, to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all of the Eastern Seaboard. That was the original founding idea of Harvard University. Look at Harvard today. I wonder if you can find anybody who knows the gospel very well articulated on that campus. They have completely changed directions. Now, I proposed to you, it did not happen all at once, but it was incremental. I'm sure it was something like an event where they opened in prayer and proclaimed the gospel, and somebody complained, and so they thought at a meeting, well, maybe we don't have to say Jesus Christ at every meeting or open in prayer at every event, or maybe we can be open to other expressions. And so they all voted for it. And then another incremental change, and another, and another. And you add all of those changes together, and it seems they have forgotten the purpose for which they were founded. So, because that is a tendency, it's important to be reminded of who we are and what God requires. We need to be reminded, we need to remember, lest we forget. And that is the overriding theme of this book. If I were to give you the theme of Deuteronomy, it's this: beware lest you forget. And so, Deuteronomy is essentially a repetition of the first four books, or not the first four books, but especially Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, the second, third, and fourth book. It's a repetition of the law. Deuteronomy comes from two words: deutero, which means two or second, and nomion, which means the law. It's a Greek word. It comes from the Pentateuch. Deutero, nomion, Deuteronomy. Law number two, or the second law, or the law repeated a second time. That's what Deuteronomy is. Now let me tell you what it's comprised of. Deuteronomy is essentially three messages, all of them farewell messages, three farewell messages given in a single month by a 120-year-old man named Moses on the plains of Moab. That is the description of the whole book of Deuteronomy. Three farewell messages given in 1 month period of time by a 120-year-old man named Moses on the plains of Moab. Now, I don't want to get into the debate. Some people see four messages, some see five. I see three, as do many other scholars. And each of the message has a theme. The first message, chapters 1 through 3, or 1 through 4, depending on how you divide it, looks backwards. It's a review of the past. The second message, around verse or chapter 4 or 5 to chapter 26, are the regulations for the present. The present. And then number 3 is chapters 27 through 34, the end of the book, and it's readiness for the future. So we have past, present, and future, or historical, legal, and prophetical. Those really sum up the three messages that comprise the entire book. Now, the book of Deuteronomy will be referred to, quoted, or alluded to some 350 times in the rest of the Old Testament, and another 95 times in the 27 books of the New Testament. So it's a pretty important book. In fact, did you know that the book of Deuteronomy is the book Jesus Christ most often quoted from? I know what some of you are thinking. If all of that is true, Skip, if it's that important, why are you going to cover it in one night? Well, for two reasons. Number one, we are at 30,000 feet, number one. And number two, because it's a repetition, remember, of what we've already gone over. It's told to a new generation. He's reviewing the past, giving regulations for the future or for the present, and readying them for the future. And so, 250 times in the book of Deuteronomy, there will be quotes, allusions, references to Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. It's a repetition. So let's get into the first of those messages, chapters 1 through 3, the review of the past. Now, this is what God has done in the past. This is historical. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. You know where that is. It's 11 days' journey from Horeb, or Mount Sinai, by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. So did you get that? In verse 2, it's an 11 days journey. They managed somehow to turn an 11-day march into a 40-year meander. How? Through unbelief. Through unbelief. And we already read that. We already looked at it. And Moses will go over that and review it with them. Now, something about travel in that day. So it says it's 11 days trip. In the ancient East, distances are not computed by miles or kilometers, but rather by the time it takes you to travel there, hours or days. So in the ancient world, typically by foot, you could cover 20 miles per day. If you had a camel, it's 30 miles per day. They don't go all that fast. If you were in a caravan, it takes you back to 25 miles per day because you have a lot of people and you're moving quite slowly. You may remember, and if not, you'll get to it, in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, it says of Nineveh, it was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in extent. So if by foot it takes you all day to go 20 miles, that means the circumference of Nineveh was 60 miles around. So it was an 11 days' journey from Mount Sinai, Horeb, to the entrance of the promised land, which was Kadesh Barnea. They were moving slowly, but they would move very slowly because it would be 40 years later. Of course, if you were Mr. Ed, it might take you a little bit less if you were there. Just wanted to show that again. That's amazing. Okay, back to our text. Verse 6, chapter 1. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain." Don't you love that? God says, "You've been here a long time already. Go. Go." Now, there's a reference to Mount Horeb, and I said it's Mount Sinai. That's because Horeb is the name of the mountain range. Sinai is one of the peaks. If you climb Mount Sinai, or if you have in the past with us, we pointed out to you that there's one little precipice, one peak called Horeb in particular, but the entire range, Mount Sinai is one of them, is Mount Horeb. So look at verse 7. "Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain. In the mountains and in the lowland, in the south, on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, way up north, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates." Now God is saying, this is what I gave you. And Moses is saying, 40 years ago when we sent those spies out, they were to look at all of the land God had given them. And remember what I said last week? If you go home and total it up, God gave them about 300,000 square miles. But at their zenith, at their peak under King David and Solomon, they only occupied 30,000 square miles. In other words, they only enjoyed 1/10 of all that God promised that they could have. You know, it is one thing to be given a gift. It's another thing to actually receive it and open it. It's kind of lame if somebody gives you a gift and you thank them and you never open it. God gave them a gift, but they never really opened it. They never took all the land that God promised them. Again, because of unbelief. There was a father who gave his son for graduation from college a Bible. His son asked for a car. When the boy got the Bible, rather than even being polite, he threw it at the dad and stormed out of the room and refused to talk to his father, he said, the rest of his life. Years passed and more years, and eventually that father died. And the son, the last time he remembered, was confronting him in anger. So the son went home to the family house in the office where the dad had given him the Bible for the funeral arrangements. And as he was there in the office tidying up, he noticed on the bookshelf many years later now that same Bible that dad had given him. And he thought, oh yeah, I remember that. And he took it off the shelf, opened it up, and out fell a key. And he noticed, and he looked, and there was a note attached to it. It was a key to a brand new car. But the dad wanted to wrap the car in the sweetness of God's word to give him the right message. But the boy refused it, and he didn't get the word nor the car. God had promised so much for the children of Israel, and they didn't receive all that God gave them. Even to this day, they haven't. It will take the future before they really unwrap it. I wonder where you're at spiritually, as we have surveyed and are about to end the five books of Moses. I wonder if you're wandering in a wilderness of sorts. I wonder if you're enjoying all the promises of God, if you're really entering in, if you're really saying, I'm going to step out a little further and believe God for a little bit more. I want my life to be adventurous as I follow him in full faith. Some of you may have heard about a man who died in 1915. I know many of you weren't around then, but you may have heard of John Wendell. He was called America's most miserly millionaire. Now, John Wendell was called the most miserly millionaire. He lived in New York City on Fifth Avenue. He was very wealthy. He refused to get married. He stayed a bachelor. He didn't want to spread the wealth to a woman. And get this, he persuaded his five sisters to remain unmarried their whole lives and to live in the family home on Fifth Avenue. Well, he died in 1915. Some years later, when one of these gals, his sisters, died in 1931, they discovered she was worth $100 million. But she didn't own a car, didn't have electricity, didn't use a phone, didn't have a phone, wouldn't pay for the expense. And the only dress she owned was the one she was wearing, and she wore it every day for 25 years. But she's worth $100 million. This guy was nuts. And he had five wacky sisters to go along with him. Imagine having all of that wealth, but not enjoying it. Imagine having all of the promises, Ephesians 1, blessed with all blessings in heavenly places, but living little, stingy, spiritual, miserly lives. Well, Moses continues his review, and in verse 26, he talks about the 12 spies that he has sent out. But, verse 26, nevertheless, you would not go up. Verse 34, and the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land which I swore to give to your fathers. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. So this is the review of the past. Moses is saying, everybody died. No one will go into the land from that generation. You guys will go in. But there's only two that survived, and that's Joshua and Caleb. They're going to go into the land. Okay, listen to this. Conservatively, if you think of the number of people that died in the wilderness, take that period of time, 37 and a half years. Conservatively, 1,200,000 people died in the wilderness in 37 and a half years. That would be an average of 85 funerals per day. Or seven people drop in the bucket every waking hour. It got to be a way of life. Death became a way of life. How dramatic an illustration that was for the children of Israel. For 37 and a half years, every day, people around them are dying, dropping, dying, being buried, being left. A sober reminder to them for almost 40 years that the wages of sin is death. They died in the wilderness. Now, chapters 2 and 3, Moses basically reviews the places that they went and the events that they saw, all the things we have looked at in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. I'm going to take you down to chapter 3, verse 10, because there is an interesting guy who was a king of Bashan. Bashan is up in northern Israel still, the Golan Heights, we would call them today. The king's name was Og, O-G, Og. He was the wizard of Og. He was the king of Og, of Bashan. Verse 10, all the cities of the plain, all Gilead, all Bashan, as far as Salcah and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. Now you remember from last time, review it quickly. 2.5 tribes stayed east of the Jordan River. Remember that? They didn't want to go all the way. They would help settle the land, but they would come back to the eastern side of the Jordan River, and they were the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh stayed east, while the other half and the other nine went west. Verse 11, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead, get this, his bed frame was an iron bedstead. Is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon? 9 cubits is its length and 4 cubits its width according to the standard cubit. Now, a cubit is 18 inches. Typically, it's measured from the tip of the largest finger to the elbow. Some would be a little longer. Mine would probably be a little longer. Some shorter, but the average was 18 inches. So this guy's bed was 13.5 feet long. And it makes mention in the Bible. So you see, there's nothing new under the sun. The whole idea of a king-size bed. And this, well, it was. This was a big bed and he was a king. And the Bible mentions it. And it was so famous that it became a museum piece in the town of Rabbah, which is modern-day Amman, Jordan, the capital of Jordan. So next time you're in Rabbah, check it out. Okay, this is what I want you to see. Israel, looking at this guy, Israel had some formidable enemies, right? There were some giants. And you'll remember back to last week when the 12 spies went out and 10 of them came back and said, you know what? There's some big dudes over there. We saw giants. The land devours its inhabitants. And they said, we were but grasshoppers in their sight. Boy, did they make a mistake. Here's the mistake they made. They measured the giants by themselves instead of measuring the giants by the Lord. When you measure the giants by yourself, you go, poor me, I'm toast, I'm dead, I won't go in the land. But when you measure the giants by the size of the Lord, you go, those poor giants, they don't have a chance against God. It was Martin Luther who said, with God, one is always a majority. Think of David versus Goliath. David, this little shepherd boy, looking up at another giant. What did David do? Look up and go, well, that's a big boy. No, he said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have ticked off. That's a free rendering. Whom you have defied. You're dead meat, Goliath. But those 10 spies caused the rest of the children of Israel to remain in the land.
We've all had trouble with forgetfulness from time to time, which is why it's good to have what God wants to share with us repeated. Hopefully, that repetition will limit the number of times we forget how good, faithful, and loving our Heavenly Father truly is. And that's just about all the time we have for today. But before we wrap things up, we just want to remind you that if this is your first time to contact us here at The Connection, we'd like to send you a free gift from Skip Heitzig. It's a booklet from Skip's lifestyle series called A New Year's Revolution. And it's just our way of thanking you for contacting us for the first time here on The Connection. Give us a call, 1-800-922-1888. And that's also how you can get in touch with us for a copy of The Connection magazine. Enjoy articles from Skip Heitzig, spiritual insights from God's Word, great offers on resources from The Connection, and more. Find out more when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. 972-1888, or when you visit connectionradio.org. Or if you prefer, you can always write us, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Well, believe it or not, we'll conclude our study in the book of Deuteronomy next time, so don't blink or you might miss it. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.